Great. All right, this is Build a Better Business. We are at the top of the month of December, and we're talking about Christmas gifts before we started recording. And Sherry brought up a great point of purchasing your Christmas gifts from a nonprofit. So that way you can support your favorite cause and also purchase your gifts. And so Sherry's looking up a couple of links for us while we're chatting. So what I want to talk about before we get into our main topic for today is think about having a store attached to your website. Now, I know Sherry already has a page. Now, Sherry, let me ask you this, and I know you're looking for that link right now. Is your sales page of your store, is it an actual set up as a store, or did you just use a page in your website and you can click through and buy some books?
Give me a moment and I'll be right with you.
Okay. All right. So I want to say, I'm going to make Sherry my co-host here so that she can share her screen if she needs to. Anyway, I am researching, and I have looked through Shopify and also Etsy, and I am going to actually add a store to my website because so many folks are asking about purchasing some things. So not only am I going to have a resource page, but I'm going to have an actual store page where they can just buy directly from the store. So consider that, and it can be all kinds of fun things. I'm connected to Vistaprint with my website. And so the fun part with Vistaprint is that I can have anything, with my name on it. I can do all of those specialty items. I can do everything from tote bags and hats and cups and pens and calendars and journals. And there's just all kind. And Vista is adding daily to the list of things that you can do there. And so here's the fun part with Vista is that I don't have to have a box of this stuff in my garage. See, I can do a mock-up on Vista of what the tote bag is going to look like, what the coffee mug is going to look like, what the hat's going to look like. And I can take a picture of that and put that picture in my store. Then if anyone orders, I go directly to Vista and ship it directly to them. I don't have to have 20, 30 of them in a box in my garage that I then have to go out and package up and ship off somewhere. It's kind of, a drop shipment thing. So whoever orders what, I just send it directly to them, directly from Vista. So anyway, it's just a thought. And I may have some things here like books, you know, that I want to, if I've purchased some books, I know Sherry and I both have purchased lump sums of books because we got them at such a discount. And even my book, I got it with my author's discount. And so now I can resell it. Now it doesn't count toward my number one status, but I've already reached my number one status. So I don't need to worry about that. But if I have a box full of author's books, which I did, I bought like 50 at a time when I buy them, I can now resell them on my website. And those you can just slide into a little, envelope kind of thing to remail. So anyway, just some thoughts to have a store. Debbie, did you have a question or comment on that?
Just could you elaborate a little bit about, like you said, Vista with hats and bags and whatever. Is it stuff from Vista or is it things from somewhere else?
Okay.
I'm not following.
Okay. If you go to a seminar or expo and you walk around the expo and you're familiar with Igniting Souls. Let's say you go to an expo and Carrie has a table at the expo. And when you go up there, he has tote bags and all of the tote bags say Igniting Souls on it. He ordered those from a specialty company. And he said, I want it to say Igniting Souls. This is the color I want. This is the bag I want to give away. And so he then, buys those in bulk. Well, you can go on to Vistaprint and all they're doing is it's a specialty company. But because I've already branded myself on Vista, they already have my colors. They already have my logo. They already have all of that because I've put it on business cards. I've put it on flyers. I've put it on a banner. So now if I go out to an expo and I want to give away ink pens, for example, I can just go to Vistaprint and order, you know, 100 ink pens that say Freestyle Living. Or I can order, you know, 50 tote bags that say Freestyle Living or whatever I want it to say. It can say Kathy Benner. It can say Build a Better Business. It can say Happy House Hunters. I even ordered during COVID, I ordered the mask that said Happy House Hunters on the side, because we were still doing our boots on the ground where we went out and toured these properties, because real estate agents were allowed to still function as long as all the people that came through the real estate wore a mask. And so I ordered masks that said Happy House Hunters. So our whole mastermind, we were branded with our face mask that said Happy House Hunters. And so the point in all of that is that Vista is just a specialty company. You don't have to use Vista. You can use any specialty company that you like to do that, to imprint that stuff. It could be coffee mugs. My Ohio Writers Guild, a coffee mug is a perfect thing for to say Ohio Writers Guild on it, because you always think about, you know, curling up in your favorite chair with your, you know, your cup of tea or coffee and your favorite book. And so the coffee mug idea is a perfect idea for the Ohio Writers Guild. So anyway, all I'm saying is, once you mock it up on whatever specialty company that you want to use and you get the picture, then just screen print the picture, and the picture is what you're going to put in your on your website somewhere as your store. And then when somebody, you know, says, I want five of those, you just go to the specialty company and order five and send it directly to the customer that ordered it. You don't have to handle it at all. Once you have an admin, your admin can do that for you once you're big enough to have an admin. So I have Jennifer that comes, she just comes every Tuesday for about 2 to 3 hours. And so whenever I get any orders for any books or anything like that, it goes into Jennifer's in basket. She does all of my incoming mail as my admin. She picks up all the mail from my mailbox and from my post office box. And she opens everything. She breaks it all down. She files everything that needs to be filed. She throws away all the junk mail. And the only thing that hits my desk is the one or two pieces that need my attention. And then she, whenever we do a free call on Zoom, on the webinar side where folks have to go in and register, their email is in there. So then her job is to take every free Zoom call that happened the week before, because she comes every Tuesday. So any Zoom webinar that happened the week before her Tuesday, she enters those emails into my Teachable, so, and gives them the free replays. And that way I'm building my email list. And so that's her second job, is to update all of those emails. And then her third job is to mail out any specialty items that anybody ordered.
And she doesn't
or to go in and order and do what right. now?
She doesn't necessarily do it physically. She
just goes into wherever it is yeah. and sends the shipment on through. Yeah.
Except for your book.
Correct. Like because I have 40 copies. And so she slides those into an actual paper, you know, mailer okay. And addresses them and sends them out. Yeah.
So just as an afterthought, unfortunately, I could send something like this to all of my speakers each month for Fireside Chat.
Oh, yeah. If you wanted to send out like a thank you.
Yes.
You mean, absolutely. Now, what I'm doing for my thank you is I'm giving them a free membership in our speakers cabinet. That's my free gift to them, because it doesn't cost me a thing and it helps yeah. elevate their message. And so that's how I'm saying thanks to anyone that comes on any of my podcasts, the free where, you know, like where I interview right. folks every month, I'm giving them a free membership to my speakers cabinet. And Debbie, I know you've jumped in there and picked up some speakers. And so, you know, to yeah. interview on yours. So see it, that's the whole point. It's to help elevate their message and for other folks to find them when somebody's looking for a speaker. So but yes, you could give them a free gift if you wanted, but it'd have to be something that wouldn't break the bank.
Right.
Yeah, right. You'd have to decide what you wanted to do there that would, because again, you're doing it 12 times a year. So you're only talking 12 gifts a year. But I'd want to keep it under $10 probably.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, that now, answers my question.
And here's another thought. An author's copy of a book is super inexpensive. Sherry, did you buy any author's copies of your book? Mm-hmm. And Ruth, did you buy any? What was your cost? Mine was $4. What was your cost, Sherry? Do you recall?
It depends where I ordered it from. If I ordered it from Ingram Spark, it was a lot more than if I ordered it from Amazon. From Amazon, it was just under $4.
Okay, that was mine. It's just under, mine's from Amazon. So Debbie, here's my point. You might be able to make, hold some hands with some authors like myself and Sherry and Ruth and see if you can just send out an author's copy. So now you're only paying $4 to offset what the author paid for it. And it still gets the message out. And it doesn't cost the author anything because, and you're only spending $4, but your guest is getting a $10 or $20 book.
Like your book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I've also wholesaled my book at a local retailer and I charge her $9 and then she charges what it costs on Amazon.
See, now I can resell mine on what it cost on Amazon and mail it out direct. But if I wanted to strike a deal, say with Debbie, so that she could use my book as one of her thank yous, I could let it go for $4 because that's what it cost me to get it. And then when my stash is empty, I just, you know, go back in and order another 50, author copies again. And I saved a whole section of my bookcase just to put about 40 or 50 of my books so that I always have 40 or 50 on hand and keep that replenished.
Okay.
Okay. Is that helpful?
Very much. Yes. Very much.
So there's things you can do there. Sherry, she said she is ready to share her screen. So on how she's has her store set up. I don't have mine set up yet. I just have my resource page. I don't actually have my store. Her says store. I like it.
Yeah. So if you look up here, I have a website. I have a courses website and I have a store. Then I have the Writing Glitch community and I have the Writing Glitch home. So I actually have 5 websites that I have all set up. So okay. In the store, I found this image on somewhere like maybe Pixabay or something like that, where you're sitting inside the store looking out. So that's the idea of this picture, is you're inside the store and you're looking outside.
I like it.
Let your journey begin. And then I have a bundle. So I've done what Kathy has said, is I've put together the 3 books that are special needs books, and I've created a bundle. When they buy that bundle, they're saving 10% off of the price that you buy them separately. I just ran a special on Black Friday where I gave an additional 10% off. So that's something else that you can do at the holidays, is do things reduce things. So then I have the 3 books, plus I have 2 of Carrie's books. Actually, I have to put Elixir Project on sold out because it is sold out. And then
now it's sold out of your store, but folks can still go to Amazon and get it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But just so folks that are not published kind of understand this, and Sherry, correct me if I'm wrong. What happened when I published, because my publisher, she said, I'm going to make you a #1 bestseller, but you all have to kind of get on the bandwagon with me. And one of the things that she wanted us to do is, as soon as it hit a certain stage of Amazon, we were allowed to go in and buy and give away books, if you will. And it counted toward our #1 status. And so what happened is you can buy a bulk of books, or if you get people to buy a bulk of books, it increases your #1 status, because there's a certain week that you have to top the numbers of sales to hit that number one status. And so with what Kerry did when he published, he wanted to know if anybody, especially with the Elixir Project and the Unhackable, if people could order 100 books or 50 books or whatever. And I remember I ordered 10, and I still have a couple of mine left that I haven't given away yet. But anyway, what happened is that several of us ended up with books that we could resell. And it helped him get his number one status, and it gave us something to put in our store. And Sherry, is that when you bought your stack, is when he was doing that?
Oh yeah. I bought a hundred of his books on the Unhackable.
Yeah, because and he gave away added value. If you bought 100, you got this, that, or the other from him. So he made he incentivized it for you to do it.
Correct. I also bought a case of Elixir Project to sell along with it. So anyway, the other thing I was going to say here is this form constancy is actually a course. So if somebody buys this, it takes them over into my courses website and they can take the course. And I have a couple more things to add in here. Now, what I'm planning on doing, like I can't put Kathy's book in here because the only thing in my store is going to be specific learning disabilities. So right, I am really strategically looking at what is in my store. But I did want to say, Kathy mentioned about Vistaprint. There is also this website called Printful, and they have products that you can do. And I was trying to share my order and like share it with you. But so I have a shirt that I was looking at. And I never ordered it, but I was trying to get my files to come up so that you could see it, but I can't get it to come up. But I actually made a mug and I have.
Here's personal orders. Oh, it's not highlighted. You can't click on the personal orders, can you?
Maybe, but now I'm sharing it. So there's the three sides of the mug. I just can't share with you what the mug looks like.
I see. Okay.
So I haven't been able to figure out how to do that. It's been a while since I was on here, but I've also been thinking about that and having merch as a drop ship. And I haven't figured out totally what I want to do there. So thank you for the inspiration, Kathy.
Yes, I just think it's important. Again, we're talking about how to create passive income is at the end of the day is what my message is, because you can't go broke if you're making money every month, and you just need to set up enough streams of income that the money just keeps coming in. At the end of the month, and I'm going to tell you right now, I remember those days when I was the single mom and struggling to pay the rent and counting out my pennies to put gas in the car so I could even get to my job to even get that paycheck. And I'll have to say this, I'm shocked these days when as the money comes in throughout the month and when I really calculate at tax time what my income is, I'm shocked. I'm pleasantly shocked. It's like, how, where is this all coming from? And when I look, you know, it's like from the rentals, it's from the online academy, it's from the book sales, it's all of it together. And it's all these different streams of income. And it's just surprising to me. I had to put two new roofs on this past week. I had two roofs that were leaking and I called three different contractors. I got three different estimates. And of course they all told me the same thing. You need two new roofs. And so I was a little heartbroken. If anybody has ever done any major house repairs, you know that the cost of materials is like twice what it was before COVID, and supply chains are short and things are tough to get. And so the cost of these roofs were twice what I had paid in the past. And I was able, and again, I'm not saying this to brag, I paid cash for two roofs this past week. And I am just shocked. So you need to start thinking abundance. You need to surround yourself thinking of abundance. And here is what someone shared with me, and I really struggled with this. whatever you give, you get back tenfold. So if you need time, you have to give time. If you need space, you have to give space. If you, here's the tough one. If you need money, you have to give money. For the law of reciprocity, it's like the law of gravity. It's there whether you believe in it or not. Whatever you give, you will get back. If you want kindness, you have to give kindness. If you want mercy, you have to give mercy. If you want forgiveness, you have to give forgiveness. So it just, whatever you need, you have to give first, and then it will return to you tenfold. So I am a true believer in that, because I've seen it in action, and it's amazing. And abundance is there. So if you need abundance, you have to give abundantly. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. When I was in the salon industry, I was holding on really tight because I had this mortgage. I was just starting to turn the corner financially. And so I was hanging on tight. And I had a business coach back then. And he said to me, he said, what is your biggest problem? And I said, well, I have this one girl that always stirs the pot. And I said, and I'm always having to put out fires. And he said, why don't you let her go? And I said, because I'm counting on her rent. And he's, because she was a booth renter. And he says, let me say this. He said, now think about it. He said, the universe cannot fill a hole until there is one. The universe cannot fill a spot until there's a spot to fill.
Oh my God, I love that.
He said, so sometimes, he said, you have to let go of something so something better can come in there. You have to let go of something. That the income from her was good, but I struggled. I spent more of my time and energy and effort putting out bonfires around this girl, but I was holding on to her rent, see, because I thought I can't cover my budget if that station is empty. And he said, you can't fill that station until it's empty. He said, you want to fill the station and then let her go. He said, it doesn't work like that. He said, you have to have the faith to let her go so that something better can come in there. And I want to tell you that when I finally let her go, and it was done very peacefully. I'll just give you a hint of a background. She was not paying her sales tax, and all the rest of us were. And let me just say that the guys from the state of Ohio really do wear black suits, carry briefcases, and have sunglasses and earpieces, because they came through the door looking for her. And I realized right then that I was not doing my fiduciary duty with the rest of my staff, because if she opened up this whole investigation, you know, they were going to investigate all of us. And I thought, it's not fair to me, and it's not fair to the rest of my staff that's doing what we're supposed to be doing, because this one girl refused to do what she's supposed to be doing. And so I simply went to her and I said, and she wasn't there that day, thank goodness. They might have handcuffed her right then. And so I told her, I said, this isn't working. And I said, I will help you however I can help you. I said, but you have to fix this. I said, I can't fix this for you. And her reaction to me was, is she said, well, then I don't have anything to do, but I'll just have to quit. Now, normally I would have said, no, don't quit. Don't quit. Let me help you dig out of this hole that you've created for yourself. But instead that day I said, okay. And next thing I know, she packed up her stuff and she quit. I want to tell you, it was like this weight was lifted off my shoulders when she walked out the door. And I loved her as a person. I loved her. I could see very clearly, because there's nothing black and white. It's all gray. I could see very clearly how she got into that pickle. Her daughter had three kids and wasn't taking care of them. And so she was trying to take care of these three kids. And so financially she was strapped, and she just didn't pay her sales tax because she never had the money. And again, I don't think she had learned that abundance lesson that I was struggling to learn. So anyhow, long story short, you know, she walked out, still owing me. So, and then I was trying to pull her booth rent out of her every week because she was always struggling financially. And I do want to tell you the epilogue to this story. She has turned it around. She has learned the abundance lesson, and she did come back and pay me all my back booth rent, and she paid all her back sales tax. She did all of that in the following 24 months. But that particular day, it was like a weight was lifted when she left, because I was constantly, you know, down in the trenches trying to keep her afloat, and I couldn't focus on the rest of the staff. And so then I was able to focus on the business at large. And once I relaxed into that role, I must have had 10 stylists come that very week looking for a booth space. And I thought, why didn't I do this a year ago? I had been, as I like to say, dragging this girl along for a year. And I thought, why didn't I let her go? And I'm not saying physically fire her. I'm just saying I had to just open my hands and let her go. And that was where I was struggling. Yes, Ruth.
Can I add to this conversation a couple of things?
Absolutely.
And one of them, they're two different things, but it's part of what I'm learning. And I agree with the whole abundance thing. But one of my mentors was telling me that faith, and we're not just talking biblical faith, it's part of it. But faith is the substance of the unseen. We know that. But you can have faith in anything. And so if you have faith for lack, you will have lack. And you can put anything in that into that sentence that you want to put in there. If you have faith for bad things to happen, then bad things are going to happen. But I prefer to have faith that good things are going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so I can just, you know, take that and go wherever it makes sense to you. And then the other, you know, how you pick a word for that year, mm-hmm. The one that is going to be mine for 2023 is receive. And so it's that letting go, that open-handed thing, mm-hmm. and receive. And of course you can put anything in there you want. But I just wanted to share those two things.
Good stuff, Ruth. That's great.
Ruth, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I've heard of it's like the one word, and probably about, didn't we do that one time, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
We
did. Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Refresh my memory on how we come up with that one word for the year.
Ooh. There's a lot of ways you can come up with it. In my mind, it's generally what's been on your heart for a while. And so like Debbie, hers was completion, you know, for 2022. She wanted to complete some things because that had been on her heart to just get some things completed. My word was abundance. And so, you know, there's just all kinds of ways you can come up with whatever the word is. But to me, it's usually something that I want to work on. It's something that I want to get better within myself. And so that's my word, because then whatever comes my way, I kind of compare it and say, does this help me with my word for the year?
Okay. So
when I found myself holding on too tight, I would go, ooh, I have to let go for abundance. So then I would go,
I thought yours was giving. Is it sort of giving and abundance together?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because again, what you give comes back tenfold. So, mm-hmm. So mine was all about giving and then receiving the abundance, which has just manifested itself tremendously in 2022 for me, because that's what I focused on all year. What you focus on the most is what's going to rise to the top.
Okay, so
Sherry's was engagement. Oh, and in 2023, it's inspire. Sherry, I love that.
Okay, so ladies, I need a little bit of insight. I've really been struggling with order and organization. Can I do that? I mean, because it will benefit others, but it'll benefit me more than anything else. I mean, if, anyway.
Use the word organized.
Mm-hmm. Organized. Okay, thank you.
Okay, that can be your word for the year. And now I have, and remember I said there are goals and then there are plans. You can have a goal to be more organized, but what is your plan now to get to that goal? And one of the first things, and this is what I want to share with all of us on this call, one of the first things where it starts at the very bottom of the staircase is, what is that mantra that's going, that you tell yourself? What is the story you tell yourself? What's the story you tell yourself? Change the story. And I'll give you a real easy way to change the story. I'm never going to have enough money until now. I'm never going to get organized until now.
And you
I'm
know
never going to get this completed until now. So, because here's what's going to happen is whatever you're telling yourself that's on a negative thread is going to jump in there, and you're going to, and it's going to go through your mind before you can stop it. So as soon as you realize it, just add until now. And that will change the mantra that's running through your head. Is that helpful?
Yes, I will do that, because I do say that. I'm like, I mean, I work at it, and anyway, I am organized. I am organized. Everything is decent and in order and organized in my life. That's my mantra.
But if the negative one sneaks in there, just make sure you add the phrase until now, because now I am going to be organized. I am going to complete what I started. I am going to have abundance. I am going to inspire. I am going to engage. I am going to give. So just always, always add until now. Whenever you tell yourself you can't do something, it's until now. Now you can. Is that helpful? That's a quick way to turn that around and make it a positive sentence.
Can I add to that?
Absolutely.
And so you can just say, add to, still, you know, say, I am organized, you know, what you said before, but then say, I have a plan to get organized a little bit every day, or however you want to do it. But just say, I have a plan. I have a plan. And then the other thing that I think is really cool for us, and I've been doing this for about a month, that's why I came up with my word for a lot of things, but try different words on, just like you would try on different shoes. Mm-hmm. And be okay with, okay, today I'm going to try on this word. Now I'm going to try on this word. Just like trying on different shoes, and then pick the shoes that you want, pick the word that seems to resonate most with you. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that if you're a person of faith, then you get divine inspiration on what your word is supposed to be.
Okay, thank you very much.
Estelle, I pray on it for a week around the end, like right around Thanksgiving, like right after that, like for that week. Mm-hmm. And at some point, God just downloads it and say, this is your word for the week or for the year.
Okay, so yours is inspire. So Sherry, tell us about that briefly.
Well, let me go back to engage, because last year, my mission was to create a platform where I was going to have engagement with my tribe. And it was not happening. And all of a sudden, Michael comes to me and says, hey, I found this community platform. Let's get started. And I went, okay. So we got started. The end of the week, they are actually changing their platform to make their community engagement piece much more robust and client tribe user friendly. So it is going to, what I tried to do this year is going to come forward. Now, what I want to do next year is inspire that group, that tribe that has come to join me, to go beyond their comfort zone and inspire them to be more than they can be. So I have chosen to do a 5-day challenge every month, and my first 5-day challenge goes live on the 12th. And I have one set up for every month except the summer months.
Yay, Sherry. So not only does she have a goal, she has a plan. And so oftentimes we have these goals and we forget to develop the plan on how we're going to get to the goal. So with that, I want to talk about our topic for today briefly, because again, we're already at 10 to the hour. This has been a great conversation and I think we needed it. So don't anybody feel bad that we were a little off topic getting started, because I think this topic was very important that we've been discussing. But I want to talk about, in December, it's all about public speaking. And because that public speaking is the fastest way to grow your business. Once you know your message, public speaking is the fastest way to grow your business. Now, you can public speak in a lot of different venues. You can use your 5-day challenges because you're definitely a speaker there. You can create a mastermind. You're definitely a speaker. You can do all of those virtual things. You can be on Zoom. You can just record yourself on a YouTube video and you are speaking to the masses. When Sherry and I go back and look at our analytics on our podcast and on our YouTube channels and on our Vimeo channels, I'm shocked at some, you know, I'm getting like 45 and 50 downloads on individual podcasts. And I'm like, who knew? But again, when I'm advertising and interviewing other folks, see, I get to borrow their audience. And so sometimes it's because I sent them the link after the interview and they've put it out to their tribe and their tribe is clicking. So now not only does their tribe get to hear their voice, their tribe gets to hear my voice. And so I'm kind of borrowing their audience the same as they're borrowing my audience. And so don't underestimate all of the virtual things that you can do. And you are definitely being a public speaker. You are here today just sharing on this call. You're speaking and it's inspiring and uplifting to everyone that is listening to this call. So you've got Facebook Live, you've got YouTube, Zoom. And if you're saying, oh, gee, I feel a little uncomfortable getting up in front of a group in person, the number one thing is that you need to perfect your story. And as we go through building a better business, we're going to talk about, again, right from the top in January, we're going to start over with your value proposition statement. And so, again, we're always a work in progress. So you may want to tweak yours a little bit. You may have more clarity this time through as to what your message is. Sherry has tweaked her website and her product and her delivery so many times, but oh my goodness, it shows. It is so much more clear. She's actually getting a tribe. You know, her tribe is finding her because her message has become more and more clear. And what she's putting together is just amazing. And so don't underestimate, you know, the work that you do on the back end on how it's going to show up on the front end to your tribe. So we're going to talk about your VPS in January. In February, it's going to be all about storytelling again. So brush off your stories, get to the high points of your story that point back to your products. I mean, I can tell a story all day long about how I went hiking in the woods, but unless I point back to how it's part of my freestyle living, there's no point in the story. So make sure that all the different spots in your story can point back to the products and services that you're trying to monetize. That's the whole point of perfecting your story. But once you've perfected your story, then it doesn't matter what group you're in front of, because all you're going to do is tell your story. So I had a gal the other day, and she has a real estate group, and she and her husband were going to be traveling. And she said, now, are you ready for this? I'm a competitor for her. She does the exact same thing I do. She's got a course. She does a mastermind. She is all about the newbie real estate investors. She is a direct competitor for me. But I started attending her in-person meetups. I very patiently sat in the back of the room. I would always add value. I would never take away from her. I would always then, if somebody said, well, how can I learn more? I would say, oh, we'll get a hold of, and I would say her name. She's got a mastermind that can help you. I would always promote her business. Because remember, whatever you give comes back tenfold. And so she finally called me one day and she said, my husband and I are traveling. We can't be there for the in-person meetup. We don't want to move the date because that messes everybody's calendar up. She goes, can you run our meetup for us while we're out of town? And of course I said, absolutely. So again, I went in knowing I did not want to take anything away from her business. So what I did is I simply told my story. Here's how I discovered my freedom number. And I just went through, and it was based, there was all real estate investors in the room. So it was all based on how I had my aha moment about, you know, purchasing real estate was going to be my retirement income. And I just went through, I had a whole PowerPoint with pictures of all the properties I'd purchased and how I financed them. And in my Happy House Hunters, I go through finding, funding, it's the five F's, finding the real estate, funding it, fixing it, flipping it, and filling it. And so I went through each of those on each property and say, here's how I found it, here's how I funded it, then here's how I fixed it. And then I didn't flip it, I filled it. And so this is now my retirement income. Then I was able to buy this property and here's how I found it, here's how I funded it. And I just kind of went through my story. And at the end, and I didn't tell anybody about me because they knew my name. And of course, we've talked about this on this call. If you Google my name, search my name, what's going to happen? I'm going to be everything on the first four pages because I have been working on that for some time. And so what happened was, as soon as that event was over, I had about 10 new mastermind members that joined my actual membership site, you know, at $25 a month. So 10 members times $25 a month, that's $250 a month. I just added to my income by public speaking one time. I added 200 every month because those 10 members are going to pay $25 every month. And so at the end of the first year, I will have made another $3,000 just speaking one time. So you see how public speaking can grow your business faster than anything else, because, you know, I was talking to 40, 50 people in that room and 10 of them purchased. But I didn't even sell anything. I didn't even say I have a membership site and here's how you find it. All I did is I said, and I was very transparent. I said, Elizabeth does the same thing I do. Now you notice I said does the same thing I do. So now they know I have the same thing she has because I just said she does the same thing I do. And I said, so if any of you need any help, I said, please get a hold of Elizabeth and get signed up. And 10 of them actually got a hold of me and they didn't call me and say, would you sign me up? I made it easy when they went to my website and they scrolled down and they found the Happy House Hunters. And when they clicked, it said buy now. And they simply clicked the buy now button. I made a way that they could give me money very easily. And I very carefully did not proselyte any of her members. Now, they may very well be a part of her. As a matter of fact, some of them are already in her group. And so now they're in my group too. That's okay, because the tide rises all ships. That's okay. You know, they don't have to pick one or the other. How many of us are in several groups out there that are similar? And I've got several business coaches that are similar, but I like this one for that reason. And I like that one for this reason. And so I still contribute and participate with both because I really like what their message is. And so that's okay. That's okay that they're in more than one. And so anyway, that's what I want to tell you is, if you're uncomfortable then being in public and you just want to get over the nerves of standing up in front of people, then get into Toastmasters. It's very inexpensive, and you get little weekly assignments or monthly assignments, depending on whether your group meets once a month or once a week or how, and you can go look at all the ones in your area and see, and just participate in Toastmasters for a year. And, you know, just give yourself a year and you'll be amazed at how much better you are at thinking on your feet and presenting in front of a group at the end of that first year. But there are organizations everywhere looking for a speaker to add value to their organization. And all of us have a message that is so important. And when you speak to a Chamber of Commerce or any of those organizations that's looking for luncheon speakers, it's in the middle of the day. You don't have to be out after dark. It's, you know, it's, you get a free lunch. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why that's a perfect way to get your message out there. And there are tons of organizations that are always looking for a speaker. And so you can just, you know, the Kiwanis groups and the Chamber of Commerce groups and even different church groups that, you know, I remember I back in the day, I was in this really, really, really large church. And they had not only a membership directory, but they then said, we're going to put together a business directory within our membership because we're finding our members want to do business with each other, you know, to help promote each other before they do business, you know, in the world at large. They want to just kind of help promote each other. So they put together a business directory. Well, then that business group decided they wanted to meet up once a month and they were looking, they wanted each member in the group to kind of share what it was they did. And so church groups are always looking for speakers. So it depends on your message, on what is a good match for you or a good fit for you. But there's tons and tons of opportunities out there. But you have to go find them. You have to make a list of those opportunities. And don't, again, most of us or many of us on this call are faith-based. You'll know when it fits. You'll know when it's an organization that fits with your values. And if your message is faith-based, don't shy away from that. If your message is actually faith-based, then embrace that because your tribe will find you. Your tribe will find you. Don't feel like you have to change to you know, to make a go of it. The more true that you are to yourself, your tribe will find you. And then it's a beautiful thing. Because then you feel like you're making the biggest impact. And then you realize you are. You realize that you are because your tribe will then affirm that for you. That you're what I needed today. And they'll tell you that. Okay, so comments, questions, thoughts, fears.
You know, Kathy, you just made a statement. And I really, really, really appreciate it. And that was about if you're faith-based, let it come out. Because a lot of times people say, well, you know, people may be turned off if you're religious or whatever, you know. And so you have to really kind of think of, you know, what are you in the business for? I was on a 3-day training this weekend. 2 days I was able to attend, but anyway, this lady came on and she is the number one makeup person in our country. But anyway, when she had just went through all kinds of turndowns, this, that, and the other, and what she was a newscaster, but she had rosacea. Mm-hmm. And so she would be on there. She said one time she was on, she was doing a presentation or presentation interviewing someone and her makeup, you know, started sliding off and her eyeliner, eyebrow fell off and whatever. And so she said it didn't matter what kind of makeup she used. It just wouldn't stay on. So long story short, she had went through quote unquote hell and high water to try to get her product out. So many no's. And one, she finally got a call from somebody, I think it was Estee, not Estee Lauder. What? Anyway, a major cosmetic clip company, and so they said, "Well, we like your product. You put a lot of work in, so on and so forth." And she just knew she was going to get the deal. And the guy said, "Well," the head guy, he was like, "Well, we're not going to do it." And so, you know, this was after hundreds of turndowns. So she said, feedback is a gift. So she said, "Can you tell me why?" And he said, "Well, people won't buy from people that look like you." And she was chubby and she had, you know, the rosacea skin and whatnot. And she said, but her gut, she said, told her in her knowing that was not true. Mm-hmm. That what they were telling her was that the only way you could sell makeup was you had to have pretty models and who had almost flawless skin, so on and so forth. So anyway, she ended up doing something, and she ended up on QVC and took out a loan. And, you know, if she didn't make the sales, her and her husband were really going to be, you know, like way under the water, but they sold out in under the 10 minutes that they had. And now, I mean, she ended up, she has a book out called Believe It. I got to buy that book. But anyway,
Blog about that and put an Amazon link to that.
I will. So anyway, she is the number one cosmetic available. And so I want to say Estee Lauder, but I think that I might have it wrong because Estee Lauder is just a particular brand. But anyhow, she ended up getting bought out for $1.4 billion. But what she went through to get to that point, and she said in her gut, in her knowing of her knowing of her knowing, she said she knew that she said she couldn't be fake. She had to be authentic, mm-hmm. and that authentic women wanted what she had. But
yes,
the general public would, you know, the people that were in power, they would never let it come out because they had this image of, you know, the only way you could sell makeup was you had to be beautiful. And she said, all I wanted was an opportunity to show people that I'm just like everybody else. I have a major problem and I found a way to fix it. Mm-hmm. The older women, the women that had rosacea, so on and so yep. forth. But the beautiful. So when you said what you just said now, because I struggle with that because I am a very strong person of faith. I mean, all that I have, all that I am, you know, is because of Christ. And I am just going to take that today and run with it. I mean, the name of my business is Blessed Biz, mm-hmm. Which is Business, Legal, Employer Solutions, and Training. And, you know, you kind of get reserved, you get in your head instead of in your heart. But I know God gave me that. He gave me that. So I am going to take that and run with it. That's my aha for today.
Good. Good job. Yes, Ruth.
Just to add to that, and Estelle, you know all this too because of HR, you know, you couldn't blatantly talk about God in HR unless you knew the other person was receptive to it. And so I think we take that mantra there or that mm-hmm. thought and go with that and say, I will listen to what my audience is telling me, but I will be open to talking about it if they're receptive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've always done that, you know, because people come in your office, they have all kinds of issues and problems mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I fill them out. And if mm-hmm. they right. have any right. kind of opening, they can shut you. I've had some shut me down and others that, you know, would get on my shoulder and cry and I'd pray mm-hmm. for them. But you have to fill them out. You just, you yeah. know, you just can't. Yeah.
And you know what? And I think that's everywhere. I mean, Mark and I, we're traveling more and more and more internationally. And so we're running into all kinds of religions, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of cultures. And again, my job, I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to chop somebody off at the knees and make them feel less than. it's all about inclusion. And so it's all about, the love and just embracing them where they are. So I think, again, when you have your business, I think you have to meet your clientele where they are. You have to meet your tribe where they are. And I think we all have that discernment, and that discernment will grow as we practice it.
And one thing I had to learn that goes along with that is not to be judgmental.
Right. Absolutely. Because I have people on my team that are Muslim. I have people that are on my team that are Buddhist. Mm-hmm. And, that's their life. This is mine. Mm-hmm. I don't cross the line with them. And I said, for me, when I came up with the term blessed, I'm like, what culture doesn't believe in being blessed? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and again, for many of us know Cary Overbrunner, and I love how he introduces his faith into his audience. And he has a sentence that he uses all the time, and it is just so darn perfect. He'll want to talk about something, and he'll say, "My favorite book says," and then he'll kind of paraphrase, a scripture, But for those that are faith-based, they know exactly what he's quoting from. But for those that are not, he's just paraphrasing a quote out of his favorite book. And he uses that a lot. And that's a perfect way for him to share his faith. Yes, Ruth.
Another thing that I've taken from him is a lot of times say, if you are a person of faith, and then say what I want to say. Mm-hmm. Because it just seems calmer.
Well, and let me share this along with what Estella was saying. If you're a person of faith, you could be a person of faith and still not be Christian. You can still have faith in whatever your religion is. And so, again, you're honoring their choices and their religion without making them feel less than. And they get to observe you and how you share and your love and how you're presenting. So I think it's good.
I'm going to head out.
Yes. Thank you so much. Any big aha before you go, Ruth?
I think it's just been a good discussion. I did write a couple of things down, sort of think about where I could print some stuff. And I actually wrote, when do I create an advisory board? Because I don't feel like I'm ready yet. So those are my two big things that I wrote
now. I'm going to type in here, right on the butt. You do your advisory board now. I did one 3 years ago. And all I did for the first 2 years was, this is how many books I sold this week or this month. This is the things that I'm working on. And basically, I just did a report to a group of people just to keep myself accountable that I was moving forward. So start it now.
We'll see. I know one of the things, my word for this last year was intentional, which was really well. But I also, about during the summer, I realized God was telling me to be intentional from a resting place. So my mantra became then, because I am a person of faith, I co-labor with God. It's on my wall. That's why I keep looking at it. From his peaceful and productive rest.
I like that.
And so as long as God tells me to do the advisory board now, I'm good.
And I think when you are ready to do your advisory board, that it will align with you and your message and your faith, and it'll be a perfect match.
Right. Right now, I don't have any idea who I would ask to be on my advisory board. So that's something that I need the download from. Mm-hmm. Is to figure out who that would be.
And that's something that we can all be thinking about too. Mm-hmm. Who would you want to be on your advisory board? You definitely want folks that are in your corner that can help inspire and encourage you, but also hold you accountable. That's the, that's the fine line.
Mm-hmm. Right. You guys have a great week.
Yes. Happy holidays. Now we are going to be back real quick before Ruth jumps off. I got to go back to my December, and we are actually going to be here on the 19th. That is the week before Christmas. We'll be here again on the 19th, talking about building a better business. And then after that, we'll be back after the holidays. So we'll get to meet one more time.
Ruth, what was that statement? I co-labor with God from a peaceful
and productive rest.
Okay.
So it's in a nutshell, I'm thriving, not striving. It's that abundance. It's that receiving.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, that also attributes to your calmness.
Yeah. And I haven't always had that. I haven't always had that. But I had to realize that God's in charge. And yes, I put in there productive because it doesn't mean that I get to sit on the couch. I need to be working on something. And yes, I'm working on some things. And I did make for, like I said, intentionality was my word for this 2022. And I think I did make, and you guys probably can verify this, that I made a lot of progress in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. Now, there's more progress to do, but I think it's like measuring backwards and not to the horizon. Mm-hmm. To see how far we've come and not how far we have yet to go.
Those are all great points, Ruth.
So I'm going to get off because we're already up past the hour. And
let's okay, thank you.
Give ahas and have a great day, everybody.
Yes, thank you for being with us.
Yes, thank you for your insights.
Okay, now Estella, your aha was to remain, to embrace your faith-based, if that's part of your message. That was your aha for the day. Sherry, did you have an aha for today?
Really? Just glad to reinforce and being able to support everyone else that's here.
Yeah. When I look at Sherry, she's like the real deal. You know, she's been doing the work in the trenches and it shows. It shows on their website. It shows on the activity that she's getting. It shows. Sherry's been pushing that rock up the hill for some time and it's just getting ready to crest and start rolling down the other side. So hang on.
No, I must say, remember I had said that I got a call about doing a speech down in Texas.
Yes,
the contract is signed.
See, it's working. It's working. I love it. I love everything about it. I love watching Sherry. I do. I love watching her. I can tell she's working in the trenches every day. She's working this thing like a full-time job. Let me tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is a full-time job.
And it shows. And sooner or later, it's going to pick up steam all on its own. And it's going to turn into this wonderful abundance for her. Yes.
This year. 2023 is the year that it's all getting put together because I've learned how to pare down so I can speak out.
Yes. You have to simplify to 10X.
Yep. Simplify to 10X.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you this. I will contact Kathy every once in a while and go, I need a brainstorm moment. And Kathy is so gracious. So from that being my takeaway for the year is texting Kathy on the phone and going, this is happening. I need your advice.
She's like, can we talk for a minute? I'm like, sure.
So just because she's been gracious and allowing me to be part of this as a co-host, and that I'm sure you guys have had one of those moments where you've needed to talk to Kathy too. That's how she gives back too, is she's just so gracious in her time. So thank you, Kathy, for your gracious time this year.
Well, it does my heart
tenfold back.
Yes, it just does my heart good to see everybody that, you know, you're finally getting to all your goals. I love it. I love it.
Can I ask Sherry, she said, pare down to something.
to 10x.
To speed up, I think she said.
Yeah. Tear down. Yeah. Speed up. Yep.
Yep. You have to slow down to speed up or simplify to 10x. You've got to make it simple before you can make it big.
And that's why I got to get the organization piece in place.
But you know that you're feeling that you're feeling that in your being, you're feeling that that's your next step. Mm-hmm. Yes. Debbie, how about you? Any aha moments for you today?
And there is a lot. And when you mentioned the striving or thriving, not striving, that kind of hit me in the gut. Because I'm just, I don't know, that kind of left a hole in me for some reason.
Let me do a little coaching thing with Debbie for a minute. Debbie, what is it that you're telling yourself? What is that recording that goes on inside your head every day? What is it that you say to yourself? If you could just sum it up, what is it that you keep telling yourself?
That I have too much to do and I don't know where to start. And that I procrastinate because I don't know where to start. And I'm not living up to people's expectations. Does that make sense?
It does. To help you out, the first thing that I would do if I were you is just jot down your three most important things.
Okay.
Do you know, we all kind of know what's, as I like to say, niggling in the back of our mind, like Estella knows she needs to get organized. That's been bothering her. And she keeps telling herself, I got to get organized. And so she knows that has to be at the top of her list. What is the top thing on your list that keeps eating at you that you know you need to get done?
I just have to get started. I don't start. And it's like, so when I say I want to get started, I want to do it. Then I think of all the ways, well, I need to do this to update my brain and I need to do this. Is that answering your question?
It does. What's the one thing you want to get started this year, this coming up in 2023? What's the one thing that you would really like at the end of 2023 to say, I did it?
Well, I said it in January. I wanted to be done with my book. And this year, I could see so many more things that I could help with if I did that.
Okay, so your book is at the top of your list?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How far are you in your book currently? Do you have an outline? Do you have any chapters written?
I do. I do.
You have an outline.
I have an outline. I have pictures. I have a lot of information to go to fill in for each of the outline part. So,
does the outline kind of go in the pattern of your story?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So you've got a starting point. Like, I remember when blah, blah, blah. Like, I remember
once upon a time.
Okay. So how about this? How many chapters is your book going to have? Ballpark. It'll change as you write it because your book will actually write you before it's over. But on your outline, tentatively, how many chapters are we talking about?
I believe 15 at least.
Okay. Then let's do this. In January, your job, we are going to be your advisory board and you are going to be held accountable to have chapter one done by the end of January. I know with the holidays, it's going to be hard. So by the end of January, you are going to have chapter one totally finished as to the best of your ability. Now, we know that once that book starts to write you, you're going to say, oh, I needed to put this back in chapter one because now I want to talk about it in chapter five. And you'll go back and add some stuff and take out some stuff. And then when it's all done and it goes to the editor, it'll change again. But to the best of your ability, chapter one, you have to have it done by the end of January.
Okay.
Have to be able to email it out to us so that we can see that you have chapter one done.
Okay.
Okay.
I can do that.
Okay. So by the end of 2023, you will have your book written and ready to publish.
Good.
Because each month you are going to have to write one chapter to the best of your ability.
Right. I understand that.
Because again, once your book takes over and starts to write you, you'll go back and say, oh, I want to add this, or oh, now I need to change that because that really isn't relative to where I'm going with the book. Right. But to the best of your ability, have chapter one. Does not have to be perfect. Just get it out on paper.
Okay.
Whether you talk into a Google Doc and it types it for you, or whether you sit down and type it, however writing works best for you, chapter one is going to be due in January. All right, ladies, are we going to hold her to it?
Yeah.
We're going to say, where's your chapter, Debbie? Because that's the number one thing on her list, was getting her chapter or getting her book done.
Yeah.
She feels that's holding her back with the rest of her business. And so, and she wanted to leave a legacy. She has said that from the very beginning. And her book was going to be her legacy. And she has said that from the very beginning. So, Debbie, we are going to help you write your book and fulfill your legacy dream.
Thank you. That is so, like, okay, I've got 10 pounds off my shoulders. You know what
and
I mean?
You only have to do one chapter. So right. Now you're not sitting there going, oh my God, I got to write this book. Nope, you just have to write one chapter. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's true. You take one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Don't think of the whole thing, because then you get kind of like I am right now.
And you have built-in endorsements, because if we are here on your launch team, helping you along the way, giving you little tips and feedback throughout this next year, you are going to have a very powerful book when it's finished.
Thank you. Yeah, you're now, right.
Debbie, I just looked it up. It said there are no rules when it comes to chapter length. The important thing is to concentrate on making your chapter fit your story, not making your story fit your chapters. Many novelists these days prefer chapters that are between 1,500 words, or 6 book pages, to 8,000 words, which is 32 book pages. And so you're going to write anywhere between 6 and 32 book pages, or between 1,500 and 8,000 words. So 1,500 words up to 8,000 words. Now, that's just a guideline. So put that on a post-it note and stick it off to the side. And then go to however you like to write, whether you're going to just talk. And now I like to talk my story out. Mm-hmm. I do better, because if I'm typing it on a keyboard, I have a tendency to want to edit my writing as I'm writing it. And then I can't get into flow, because I start typing and then I go, oh, how do you spell that? And then I'm over here looking up a spelling and I totally lost my thought. So I like to just talk into Google Docs on my phone, you know, with the little microphone, open up a Google Doc and just start talking and let Google Docs type it. You have to go back in and edit and clean it up. But boy, oh boy, you can get out 1,500 words in one setting, just because you're just telling a story.
What did you look or use to search for what you just wrote, said to me?
I just put perfect length of book chapter. I Googled perfect length of book chapter, and that's what came up.
Okay, thanks.
And it was the editor of Publishers Weekly.
And honestly, that book length is all dependent on whether you're writing a fiction or nonfiction. Mm-hmm. It's depending on the pictures that you're putting into it and stuff. It's all those little things that go along with it contribute to the length of the book. All we're asking you to do is write the chapter. We're not looking for all the pictures that go with it.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
We just want you to get some words on a page.
You could add them, but we're not looking for that right now. We're looking for the content of learning from you.
Yeah, so just, with writing my story, is that fiction or nonfiction?
Well, that's going to be nonfiction because it's your story. It's your real life story.
But it depends on how you take it. You can turn it, your real life story, into a fiction story by changing the names of the people involved.
Yeah, then I don't have to get permission.
Correct. Right? Correct. Right. But that's going to be hard for you to make that transition in your head when you're writing. So just write it as a nonfiction. Just write your story. And then if you decide that Debbie needs to be Susie and Sam needs to be George, you can go back and edit that. But if you try to always remember to call yourself Susie and call somebody else George, you're going to get all mixed up trying to tell your story because you're going to have to try to remember who's who. So just tell your story. And with us being your advisory board, it's all confidential. So if then later you decide that you want to change the names and make it a fiction story, so it's still your story and you know it's your story, but you don't have to get permission or you don't feel like you've thrown anybody else under the bus that can come back and take issue with that. Then at that point, see, it gives you the freedom to just be authentic telling your story because we're not going to publish it anywhere. We're not going to do anything with your story because it's yours. And we just want to help you get it out on paper so that you can fulfill your legacy dream.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate you taking the extra time, but I don't want to keep you guys from doing what you need to do next today. I am very appreciative for this, and I don't be surprised if I reach out to you guys.
and text me or call me anytime you need to, Debbie. Yeah. Okay. But don't worry about the link. I'm just telling you that it can be any, that's a big gap in length. So don't feel like, oh, this chapter's too short or this chapter's too long. You just want to tell your story, whatever you wanted to cover in your outline in chapter one, just tell your story because you can edit it later. You just need to get it out on paper to say, this is the beginning of my story.
And personally, I like the idea of say, and when I personally read, I like to read a chapter that's like 6 to 8 pages long. I don't like something that goes 32 pages because it seems to me to drag out. And so that's a good reference to the length of each chapter. And I really like that. I mean, I just read a book where the two main characters, they were the head of each chapter. So it was first Beth, and then it went to his name, and then it went back to Beth. And that was a very, it kept me involved to get now, to the end.
Now, here's what I'll tell you that you may or may not have realized. When they do that, when an author does that, it keeps them writing in first person.
Oh.
So when Beth is talking, Beth is saying, I thought this, then I said that, then I went here. And then when George is talking, he's saying, I thought this, and then I went there, and then I did this. See, so it's keeping the author writing in first person, and they get to share the thought process and what's playing out with each character. I read a book where they did 4 characters that way, and it confused me because after chapter 4, I was like, now who's Sam? And so again, it's just a writing style. And so when you're telling your story, my guess is that your story is going to be you talking the entire story in first person. I remember when this happened, and then I said this, and then my aunt said that. See, because now you're telling what your aunt said. It's not your aunt saying it. So my guess is that you'll be writing your entire story in first person being you. Does that make sense?
It really kind of broke a thought or confusion for myself. How would I do that?
Yeah.
So, and I didn't realize that about first person. That's interesting.
So just the way you're going to write is just the way you would tell the story to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit down and say, I remember when my grandmother did this, and then my aunt said that, and then my grandfather went there, and then my cousin bought me this. And then, you know, so you're going to tell the story from your perspective, from in your head. Okay. And that's considered you as in first person.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
You're giving me a great
I love it. Okay. This has been great. This has been a great call. So thank you everyone for being on board today. And not to forget, we are our Christmas party is this Thursday. And Sherry's like,
I'm not coming to Ohio this month.
If you can, I'll give you a room if you can make it.
The car will not make it. I will tell you
I
that.
I know,
right?
You had said
I
that.
I also have a 5-day challenge that I'm doing. Also, it got published this morning at 6 a.m. Before the call, I had 6 people sign up.
Oh!
See,
I love hearing you ladies' success stories.
I know, yes. I love it. I love it. But listen,
Estella,
Debbie.
Wait on yours.
Yes. And
Debbie,
Debbie
I'm
and Estella,
on yours.
Debbie and Estella, you're both close enough to come to the party, but let me know if you're coming because I have to give the restaurant so that they can have our table set up for us.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Thursday night at 6 o'clock and it is at the Beer Barrel Pizza and Grill. It's a nice little restaurant there at Easton and the location is 3993 Morris Crossing and it's M-O-R-S-E, Morris Crossing. 3993 Morris Crossing. And that's where we're going to be Thursday at 6 o'clock. And if you want to participate in the gift exchange, bring a generic gift between 15, 20 bucks, but you don't have to participate if you don't want to. Right now we have 12 people RSVP'd already.
And we RSVP you or what?
Yes. Just send me a text or give me a call and let me know if you're coming and feel free to bring someone, but just let me know if you're bringing someone. So if you want to bring someone, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. I know I have to leave a few minutes before 8 because I have another event that it's a Zoom that I have to be on. It's the last one of the year. So, but I will come.
Okay. Just you? Just put down just for you?
Yeah, I don't have anyone yet.
Okay. Debbie, how about you?
I'm still... maybe.
Okay. Well, let me know. Cause again, I don't want to surprise the restaurant at the last minute with a bunch of folks that they have to scurry around during this holiday season and try to scoot more tables or whatever. I want to give them a pretty good idea before we get there, how many's coming so they can have the table ready.
And don't forget Fireside Chat Friday.
Yes. Yes. Fireside Chat is on Friday.
With Sally.
Oh, is she going to be your guest? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And then earlier that day, again, we're doing our free meetup for Build a Better Business. I'm going to talk about public speaking. And we're just going to do a general overview of all the different ways that you can get out there. So we got a little more in depth in this call. So.
What did you say, Kathy? I apologize.
Friday is the free one. It's the one that's open to the general public. It's not the mastermind. Friday, and again, we're talking about public speaking with Build a Better Business, but it's the one that's just open to anybody that taps in. So it'll be a much broader overview of public speaking. It won't get down. We won't get into coaching like I did with Debbie about getting her book done.
Okay. And this one is at what time on Friday?
It's 10 a.m. Okay.
And again, Debbie, when is yours?
1 o'clock.
Okay.
And Debbie's event is not on my calendar, but you can always go to kathybenner.com and scroll down to the calendar to see all of ours. So if
okay.
You want to tap in. All right, ladies.
Cool. Thanks,
catch
ladies.
Later.
Yes. Bye. See everyone later. Bye.
Thank you.